beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook. This is the Fanatic Pregame Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
12:02, good afternoon, 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting live from the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook here in Bensalem. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Devon Givens here on The Fanatic with you until 1 o'clock. We're getting ready for Eagles in Miami taking on the 2-9 Dolphins team. Couldn't help real fast as I was laughing. We know about the Auburn and Alabama game last night. Great game, right?
Yeah.
And I see the celebration. The woman tried to jump onto the field with everyone, and she lands in the bushes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because you got to jump over the hedges.
You look at the end where you see her. You just see her eyes.
Yeah.
She thought it was a good idea. Who's going to help her? It was great video work.
Who was she with? Nobody even bothered to check one.
I don't know. Look at her eyes, though, man. It's like that meme where you see, what's that, Homer Simpson, as he goes back into the bushes, and all you see is eyes. His face.
That's when you don't know your ability.
You got to know your limitations.
You got to know your limitations. And, guys, it looks like, again, with the actives and inactives coming out, we'll hear from Tim McManus live from Hard Rock Stadium. Eagles Dolphins 1 o'clock kickoff, the Green Zone with Tyrone Johnson and Pat Egan as the game gets underway. Following us, Tyrone Johnson and Pat with that, and then Tyler Zuli and Rob Motti with the post game show. Once again, Trey, no Jordan Howard, of course, as we know, with the stinger.
Yeah, his neck is dislocated. I don't know what's going on.
All right, cool.
what's wrong with his
neck? He got a little stinger.
Is that a little stinger? All right.
A little stinger.
Yeah.
It's been 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks. You had a bye week. And now two games.
And the money on the line,
And
too.
The money on the line. He's been the best consistent player. You know, you think about Zach Ertz and all, but the most consistent player. You look at Dallas Goedert. Is he going to step up this season? Hasn't been great. Jordan Howard stepped in. We're looking at a situation where it was being talked about. Miles Sanders taking over that spot right around week number four. He's been fantastic, but he can't get back on the field.
You know, Jordan Howard and his ability to run downhill. I mean, he dominated a few football games for us this season, and you're right, we haven't kind of got back into that. And everything you guys are saying is correct. You're saying, well, it's his money year, it's his contract year. He should want to play, right, so he can prove himself, so he can go find a contract out there, get him some work for next year. The other side of that is maybe he doesn't want to go out there and put something on tape that's not himself. Maybe he doesn't want to put something on tape that shows teams that he's not good enough. Maybe he's saying, you know what, with my 119 carries already, I've proven that I can get it done. Now I just need to be healthy enough so when another team wants to sign me up, I'm ready to play. And so that's the downside.
So are we putting him on IR? What are we doing?
Well, no, I think that you give him another week so he's completely healthy. You know, there are guys that can play at 50%. And there's other guys that have to be 100% to play.
Yeah.
And maybe Jordan Howard is one of those guys that has to be 100% to play. And the other part is, in this league, you got to cover your own butt. And maybe he's looking forward to being a free agent and being healthy, being a free agent, not trying to get shoulder surgery as the offseason comes about. And so maybe that's what he's looking at when you talk about Jordan Howard.
And with that stinger, you said it as, you know, the first time it really propped up for us and we found out about it, with him running the way he does, so physical.
Violent
and
runner.
And getting down the way he does, and that shoulder being, you know, what he leans in and he goes at and he creates contact. It's a tough thing to play with.
Ultimately, a stinger is just a pain tolerance level.
Never mind.
Right? So,
scratch that, Tyler.
Yeah, to me, it's a
dump
pain.
That.
Now, if it's a stinger, you know, we never know because the Eagles medical staff is not going to give us a full picture. So we don't know if it's a tear in there. We don't know what it
may be more complicated than just
exactly.
A backyotomy.
Yeah.
A broke neck.
Yeah, so if it's only a stinger, he should be back by now because that's the pain tolerance level. And usually a pain tolerance thing is it's not going to tear anymore. It's not going to do anything. It's just that you have to deal with the pain until it recovers. And I don't think it's that.
All right, well, listen.
Based on the way he plays, it can't just be a stinger.
Well, he's on the inactive list for this week, so as we head to Miami, where I'm sure there'll be a lot of inactive people for work tomorrow as they travel down there, and they're going to have some fun. One of those guys that will be ready and prepared.
Could have been you, Trey.
Will be. Couldn't have been Trey. That would be Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline, live from the Hard Rock Stadium all these different, of course, all these different names for these stadiums that we have to make sure we look up before we bring them on. And that will be Tim McManus live from Miami. Tim, happy Thanksgiving, man. How was the Thanksgiving with the family?
Thanksgiving was really good. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys. And it's a tough assignment I pulled this week. You know, when you have to head down to Miami South Beach in December, it's a tough sled.
It certainly is. Well, Tim, we just talked about, so that'll be the first thing I ask you real fast. Another week with Jordan Howard out with the stinger on the inactive list. Can you give us a little more on what's going on with him and his injury?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, it is technically a stinger. I think that, you know, it's involved, a nerve is involved, and essentially what has happened is he hasn't been able to get full strength back in that shoulder yet. The nerve hasn't fully healed, and so the Eagles are just kind of in this waiting pattern for when that strength returns. You know, speaking to some doctors this week, it doesn't sound like there's any, like, standard timetable for these things. It's kind of, you know, on a case-by-case basis. I think that the Eagles are confident that he will return at some point this season, but clearly it's one that they don't have a full handle on exactly when he's going to be ready. It's just a matter of continuing to show patience, continuing to test it, and hope that that strength returns sooner rather than later.
Tim, two losses in a row for our Eagles. You know, both at home. Now we're going into the road against a 2-9 football team. What's the pulse of our team at this point? What's the thought process? How are the team and the leaders on our team helping to get things going? Because, you know, we do control our own destiny, but we got a stretch run here where we should be able to dominate some football games. What's the thought process as our team faces this Miami Dolphins football team?
I think they recognize the path that they have in front of them and that they have a defense that's playing well enough to get them there. And that now that they have offensive pieces coming back in the lineup, so Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz are all active for this game, they believe that that they should be, you know, a better team moving forward. And really the mentality is just trying to, you know, handle the business that's in front of them. And they recognize that they've had a disappointing season, that things haven't gone their way, that they've been hit by injuries. With all that said, they still have a path to the NFC East title, but recognize they're not good enough to be projecting past the task in front of them, which is the Miami Dolphins right now. And so that's the way that Doug Peterson's been handling this, just trying to get them locked into the moment, getting those leaders to show the rest of these guys the way, and they feel kind of better about their circumstances, given that there is some improved health starting to happen right now.
Hey, Tim, is there any way on film, based on your study, that you can see Miami giving us a problem, offensively or defensively?
They shouldn't. This is a team that obviously seemed like it was intentionally, at least from a front office perspective, stripping this thing down so that they can build it back up. But I feel like they've done a nice job from a coaching staff standpoint, where they're kind of a plucky team, even with depleted resources. And I think that you saw that. What makes them scary? I mean, if you just look at the game against Indianapolis, you know, they beat the Colts. And they do have two wins on their resume. And so I think if you look at it from X's and O's from paper, I feel like the defense should dominate. And I feel like the offense should be able to, string enough points together where this is a double-digit win. But as was reminded to me by several players in the locker room this week, in the NFL, if you think you can just roll your helmet on there, you're going to get smoked. So they recognize that there is a trap mentality here that they certainly have to avoid, given that this is a well-coached team that has shown a little bit of pluckiness this season.
Tim, one of the things that I love to talk about, and this is going to hurt Jason Avant's feelings just a bit, but I love talking about the run game and our ability to stay consistent with the run. We have not seen Doug Peterson stay consistent with the run time after time, week after week. We saw Miles Sanders last week, 5.3 yards a carry, only 12 carries, though, in the game where we had an opportunity to run the football a little bit more. What do you expect to see from Doug Peterson in this offense when we talk about the run game in particular? And as we go down the stretch of these last few games of our season, do you think Doug will commit to the run, especially with some of the struggles we've seen from the receiver and quarterback positions?
Yeah, B. West, I mean, it's a great question, and I think that they really had set up this formula for what their identity was going to be, and that was largely going to be run dependent and Jordan Howard dependent. I mean, that they were going to use him as kind of the first and second round back. have Miles Sanders as a complimentary guy working out of the backfield, and then and have that kind of be the primary source of offense, and that was going to work real well for them. And then Jordan Howard ends up getting hurt, and now you're putting Miles Sanders, who's not quite ready for the full load, I don't think yet. Very talented, but as a first and second round back, still has some work to do. And so I think that's messed things up a little bit. And it's been part of, there's been a lot of issues, but I think that's been one of the issues over the last couple weeks. So that's not to say now Jay Ajayi has been worked into the offense a little bit more. And I do believe still fundamentally the Eagles want to be able to run the ball. And I think, you know, oftentimes it's whether it's successful as to whether they keep going with it or not. And so that falls back on the offensive line. And Lane Johnson is healthy and going to be playing in this one. We expect Brandon Brooks to be back and playing in this one. And that should allow for greater success. And I think they will be committed, at least in this game. You know, they'll be running the ball a decent amount.
Tim McMahon is joining us live from Miami at Hard Rock Stadium, live on the Comcast Business Hotline on the pregame show. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Devon, and Devon Givens. And Tim, as we talk about a lot of things over the last couple of weeks, and it has been the quarterback position in general with Carson Wentz. So how has he been this week compared to maybe some of the different? Have you seen a difference in him and taking a lot of the heat as to what has happened over the last couple of weeks with the turnovers and so on and so forth as this team is now 5-6 on the season?
So I asked a player that's around him all the time to describe what Carson Wentz was like this week. And the response I got back was unwavered. You know, that has been kind of the vibe about this quarterback, that he hasn't gotten really off schedule, off kilter, as a result of arguably the worst performance that he's ever had as a pro. And I think that people in that locker room recognize that it wasn't just all Wentz, that he obviously could have been better these past 2 weeks, but also situations surrounding him, circumstances, young receivers, you know, his top weapons not being available, his top two offensive linemen going out. I mean, people recognize that this isn't a Carson Wentz problem alone. And when he spoke with us, he said, "I have so much confidence that I can get this thing turned around." And, you know, this would be a great opponent to do it against. I mean, he'd come off of two tough games. You get some of your guys back, this will be a great way to get the momentum rolling, and at least there's confidence from the quarterback and the people around him this week that he's going to do just that.
Hey,
who's going to be his starting receiving core?
Say again?
Who's going to be his starting receivers out there this week?
Okay, Trey, so Alshon Jeffery is expected to be back out there. And, you know, they're going to be giving a little bit more to Arcega Whiteside as we roll along here. So you can expect him to be a part of this attack. And while I think that Nelson Aguilar is going to be the starting slot receiver, Doug Peterson has noted that Greg Ward has earned a greater role. And I think that's right. I mean, I think that he's somebody that Wentz showed some trust in. So while those will be the starting three, I expect Ward will get mixed in there okay. as well.
Yeah, I just need Whiteside to score a touchdown. He's plus 800.
yeah, he's been training the lightning to strike today.
Yeah,
there's a reason for that.
All he needs is Whiteside to score one touchdown, baby. That's all.
I'll pass that along to Trey. Trey needs him.
Hey, Tim, I want to know about Cravon LeBlanc. I want to, because he started and ended the season pretty nicely last year in the playoffs, and he's kind of secured us in the slot, in the nickel position. Do you think he's going to remove or replace Avante Maddox at that position today?
I think the answer to that is eventually. But as we've seen throughout really the whole season, where they've had to kind of reintegrate players into that defensive secondary, that it's usually a process. And LeBlanc hasn't, you know, he just got activated this week and just got onto the practice field this week for the first time. And so based on recent history, they're not going to give him a full complement of plays, but just try to maybe give him a handful is my expectation with and if he performs well, then maybe he can take over that slot position eventually from Maddox.
Hey, Tim, before we let you go, we know games like this and great venues, there's always one game where fans travel very, very well. And it looks like from social media that Miami is once again this place. So could you set the scene for us of what it's been like down there? Is this Eagle South once again?
It's a sea of green. Yeah, I mean, if you walk around the area, as we know, this fan base is amazing. I mean, when you're winning, you're losing, it doesn't matter. They show up, and what better place to show up than South Beach? So, yes, they're here. And I think that they are going to be a heavy part of the overall fan base today in this stadium. I mean, just looking around, like the stadium, walking in, I saw more Eagles jerseys than I saw Dolphins jerseys, honestly. So yeah, it might even be like a 50-50 or 60-40 Eagles fans here to help try to get a much needed win for this Eagles team.
Oh man! And one more before we go, B. You got Alshon?
Yeah, I'm just wondering about his effectiveness and what should we be expecting from him? Obviously, we haven't had him the last couple of weeks, and he was even when he was playing, he looked slowed because of injury. What should the expectation for Alshon Jeffrey be this afternoon?
I think that, I mean, he's paid like a big-time receiver. He's been a big-time receiver in this league, and he's been slowed by injuries. But his team certainly needs him. We haven't seen the Jeffrey, as to your point, the left that we've been accustomed to. But when he is on the field, even if he is kind of slowed by injury, he still has the veteran savvy that allows him to get open, like in a red zone, for an example. So this would be a huge game for him to, to use that long catch radius and his savviness to have a red zone TD. Like I think that's what you should expect. I think a handful of catches. Maybe he's not going to be eating up all the yak in the world, but like a handful of catches, four catches, touchdown, call it 50 yards. I think the Eagles would take that.
Well, Tim, thanks so much, man. Glad you guys had a great holiday weekend. Enjoy the game, and we'll be reading you on ESPN.com and, of course, listening to you this week on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, man.
All the best to you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Tim.
All right, you got it. Tim McManus live from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Devon Givens here with you as the Fanatic pregame show is brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews in partnership with the Philadelphia Eagles, serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. And the question about Carson Wentz and how he's been this week, unwavered when spoken to a player about Carson Wentz and his demeanor this week. Heading into the
Miami
game.
We got to talk about that now.
We got to talk about it?
Yes.
You got a couple of minutes. Go for it.
Well, listen. Jay, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll say this. Unwavered to me talks about, that he's not batting an eye and that nothing needs to change. He just needs to sit there in the midst of adversity, right? There has to be some change. So you should be wavered. There has to be, like, something that's changing mentally. There has to be some things that are changing in preparation. And that's what unwavering speaks about, is unchanging. So if that's the case, then we can expect us to miss the playoff because he's unwavered in that mindset, right? So he has to change mentally, and he has to change, the way he prepares, because whatever they're doing is not working. So you can't keep running into a brick wall. You have to figure out a way to blow that brick wall up.
It disturbed me when I heard that.
It
disturbed me enough for me to even write it down so I won't forget it. But listen, this is why you should be wavered. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been playing terrible. I mean, let's just call it what it is. You haven't been playing well, so you should be concerned. You should say, we got to do something different. Maybe I need to hold the receivers accountable for running bad routes in practice. Maybe I need to be sharper with my passes. Maybe I need to do things differently. I'll tell you this, if I had a bad game or a couple bad games in a row, whatever I wore, I ain't wearing that no more. Whatever I did in practice, I ain't doing that no more. I'm staying at the practice. I'm getting with the offensive line to understand schemes a little bit better. Maybe I'm not doing enough. So I should be wavered. I should be in a position where, not that I'm panicking, but I'm concerned that I can't keep doing what I've been doing. And to hear that, and listen, that's only one person's interpretation. Of what Carson is going through. Maybe Carson just doesn't show it like everyone else, but I'll tell you this, if I was Carson and I'm the leader of that offense, I'm out there like, okay, we're going to get out there 5 minutes early. We're going to stay 10 minutes later so that we can work on these specific routes, because we know against this defense, we can complete these balls. That's what I would be doing. They wouldn't be describing me as unwavered. They would be describing me as, he's pissed off, and he has had us out there all doggone day working on getting better so that we can perform better than we have these last couple weeks. Because the last 2 weeks, we've scored 9 points and 10 points. And last week, that 9 points, that last touchdown, was basically a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So we really only scored three last
three
week.
Points.
Let's be smart about that.
Yeah, so I get when he says unwavered as far as, like, his determination and if he's on the right path mentally to say, you know what, I'm not giving up. I'm unwavered in my ability, right? I believe in myself, those things. I understand that. But as far as, you know, thinking that what you're doing is effective,
no.
That's misguided. That's not unwavering, right? So we have to make sure that we are, you know, being real and assessing where we are offensively as Carson, but also as the coaching staff and players. You always have to do self-reflection, right? So that's what we're doing. We're saying, look, this is not okay. Just like most of the fans in Philadelphia, it's not okay to show up to your stadium and not score 20 points or enough points to win a game against, you know, two teams that didn't play well. Neither team played well, and we didn't capitalize on it.
That's right.
Well, the Fanatic Pregame Show presented by the new Parx Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or at parxcasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. How did the Birds get it done in Miami this afternoon? We'll continue this discussion with Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Devon Givens, right here from all new Parx Casino Sportsbook, right here in Bensalem, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Now, back to the Fanatic Pregame Show, live from the beautiful new Parx Casino Sportsbook and on 97.5 The Fanatic.
12:29, 97.5 The Fanatic, the pregame show, live from Parx Casino at the all-new Sportsbook in Bensalem. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant. I'm Devon Givens. We're with you until 1 o'clock. A couple more seconds before we hand things off to Tyrone Johnson and Pat Egan for the Green Zone right here on the Fanatic during the Birds game. Talk about the game during the game, plus the guys take a look at the betting lines, prop bets, and everything happening around the league as it happens. Following those guys will be Rod Motti and Tyler Zuli for the Fanatic postgame show after the Birds game today for the Fanatic Eagles postgame show. And that is because Jamie Lynch is in Miami. And Andrew Salchunas is getting ready for his honeymoon. Congratulations to him and his lovely bride on their wedding last night.
Hey, yes, you know what, fantastic. Man? Listen, this has been bothering me for the last hour and 30 minutes. But about an hour and 30 minutes ago, two of my good friends.
Yes.
Co-hosts of this show.
Correct.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, they went straight at my neck.
Yeah.
They called me 5'8".
5'8".
I never questioned your height, dog. I know what you're
talking about. No, you did question my height, big dog. You was the main one. You said, 5'10", like as if I was 5'3".
Yeah.
I don't appreciate it. Friends. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good.
The bad part about Jason threw it in the little conversation. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I didn't say anything.
6 foot, nice athletic receiver, and a 6'7" tackle, and then we got a 5'8" guy. I'm like, whoa, what just happened?
Devon, I didn't say a name. But you know when you're insecure about your height, I think everything about you.
I stand with my chest puffed out at 5'6". It is what it is.
How did this happen?
I stand up like this.
We was bonding, we was coming close, and then, you know, they taking heightism shots at us.
They do.
It's all good.
They do. That's why when I keep saying, Brian.
Yeah.
Brian.
That's the
lead. Brian. Man, because on, Trey man. And Jason went at the height, and quietly, while I didn't say anything, I said something by ignoring them.
Absolutely.
And I went, Brian.
Brian. See, that's how a good point
Brian.
Guard does right there.
Yeah.
I appreciate
you
know,
it. Yeah, because we don't, you know.
NBA, when they measure people's heights, they wear their shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
With my shoes, I'm 5'10 and a half.
That's
with your shoes. With my shoes on.
That's
my
right.
extra inner sole in there.
Now, right now in the NBA, they kind of changed it.
They changed it back?
They come a little more correct.
Oh, man, I hope
so,
they
yeah.
don't.
If,
so,
you know. If you can still fit in the car seat, you ain't 5'6".
Another low blow. You see how they do me here?
They can face forward now.
They
don't have to look back.
They went with that. Well, the Birds take on the Dolphins today, guys. A 2-19. Let's call it for what it is. They stink. They're an awful football team, Jay. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is able to go with the quarterback rotation of Josh Rosen, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They've set it on Fitzpatrick last game against the Cleveland Browns, 214 yards for his two touchdowns and two interceptions in that game. And this team is not very good. And you spoke about it, Devontae Parker. He is a viable option at wide receiver.
I was hoping we traded for him.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah. They have no running game. They traded Drake. One of them is suspended. Yep. And things are not going well for them. When you look at this one, man, again, they're just frankly, they're not a very good football team at this time.
No, they're not a good football team at this time. We can't lie. The Eagles should cover the spread, and they should beat them by a lot of points. But our team, again, right? So that's the thing I'll keep bringing it back to. We can't, based on what the team has showed us, is that they're not a good team either, right? So the Dolphins are awful. And we should beat an awful team. And it's a chance to go out there and score 30 or 40 points to kind of let everyone know that the way we've been playing the last couple of weeks is not who we are. Right? That's the only way the Eagles can convince themselves and our team our city is to go out and hang 40 on them. Because 40 says, you know what? The Eagles are hitting stride in a time that they should be hitting stride. But yes, they have a few weapons, but not many offensively. Their best part of their offense is their receivers, and they're not the greatest. But you have Devontae Parker. We know Allen Hurns because he was in Dallas last year. Mm-hmm. And they have a small, really quick guy who will be able to get open on us, but he doesn't catch the ball that well. And Albert Wilson, mm-hmm. I was with him, and I played with him in Kansas City. So they have a few guys that can play, and they have Mike Gesicki at tight end. So they have a few weapons, but none that are going to kill you. But you know, Devontae Burke can get behind you. But I see our defensive line keep destroying this offensive line.
Why is it that fast receivers don't catch the ball well?
Because there's a bunch of things, right? So, as a person, you're not gifted with everything usually, right? So unless you're Trey. Unless you're Trey.
Speak for yourself.
But there's usually some deficiency as a person, right? So if you're real fast, you know, you may have, 4-2 hands. You know, I mean the 4-2 speed, but 4-7 hands. You know, so it's a give and take, but I don't know.
Is it because their hands are moving too quick and then having to adjust?
I doubt that.
Okay.
I just think that guys that focus on that elite level speed usually run track.
Uh-huh.
If you're a 4-2 guy, you're close to track. Go ahead.
If you're elite level speed and you have great hands, you're probably one of the best receivers that we've seen. And you kind of think about Randy Moss,
yep. Yeah.
Elite level speed,
DeSean Jackson.
Greg Hammond, DeSean Jackson, same type of thing. And if you have the work ethic and you're like that, then you're Jerry Rice. Then you're the best of all time.
Well, Jerry Rice doesn't, not close to, but yes, if you have the work ethic.
He didn't
have elite level speed.
He had good speed.
But what makes DeSean a little bit different from most is that DeSean was an all-state baseball player, right? He was an outfielder, center fielder. So he was able to track baseballs, which is a lot harder to do than the football, uh-huh, to me. So that makes him, a little bit better. But most receivers that run that fast usually don't have the best hands.
Okay.
Just because they're focusing on track to get that fast.
You know, when I look at this game, I think it should be a simple game. It should be a get-back-on-track game. It should be a momentum and confidence builder for our football team. As long as we limit the turnovers and get some turnovers from this team that has turned the ball over consistently. For me, we start with the run game.
Yeah.
We need to get downhill a little Miles Sanders. Allow our offensive line to set their pads. We got our right side of our line back intact with Brooks as well as Lane Johnson, both of them getting paid.
There's really a lot of Miles Sanders.
And run Miles Sanders. And listen, he hasn't had over 13 carries. He should probably have 20 carries tonight.
Right.
Yeah. And today, Jay Ajayi, for whatever he can give you, should get involved just a bit while he holds down the spot before Jordan Howard gets back. But this game should be all about the run game, early and late. Then Carson Wentz has to find a groove, too, because we're going to need Carson to be special down the stretch of these games if we make it to the playoffs as well. He has to be special. So not only does the run game have to find a groove, the pass game has to find a groove. And I would love to see a little creativity from Doug Peterson. Let's put some stuff on tape that other teams have to worry about and contend with. If we can do that, again, to your point, Jay, this game should be a breeze. Now, this is how this game can get ugly. Ryan Fitzpatrick is he doesn't care. They're 2-9. He just throws the ball all over the place. We get some penalties. We get some unlucky breaks in the special team game as well as on the defensive side of the ball. And if, God forbid, Carson Wentz goes out there and has another 4-turnover game, it's not going to be the easy game that we all expect it to be. However, again, we're talking about a defense that has been terrible, absolutely terrible all season long, and an offense that has just been average. We have to be able to dominate these teams. And in the past, we've dominated teams that are average. We've struggled against teams that are actually pretty good.
I thought Doug at the end of that, not the end of the game, that was a third down play. I believe it was a 3rd and 4. And they ran a switch release with Greg Ward and got him open in the right flat. I think that's the answer to our receivers, right? You have to get them in stack positions and cross and switch release to free them up, right? So I think we're going to see more of that because it worked last week like a charm. The only problem with switch releasing is that the quarterback has to be confident in his offensive line because it's not going to pop the way you want it to pop every single time. That's why you spread guys out and let the quarterback read it and allow guys to get open by themselves because it's a much easier read. But if the offensive line can protect Carson Wentz and he has time to read out the switch releases in the stack position, it can be something they can use for the rest of the season to get these guys that don't uncover well open.
Yeah, as long as they get, I think, a Whiteside open, score a touchdown.
There you go.
I'm all for all of that.
We know what it is.
Because you're going to need to continue to work on this passing game. You know, just going down the stretch. Because, I mean, yeah, it's perfect to say, all right, hey, let's get out here and let's just get back to pounding the ball. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to work on this passing game. You're going to have to work on the receivers, the timing, and the receivers getting open and making some plays. So you're going to need all of that if you're trying to get into the playoffs and to handle Dallas. And also, too, if you want to continue to make a push. Because there's no one saying, I'm not going to ever just say, hey, man, piss on the campfire, these guys are done. I think once you get into the playoffs, you never know what can happen. So, you know, whatever you need to do to keep grinding, that's what we need to do. But let's make sure that we get J.J. in the end zone this today. I need that.
Whatever you do, get J.J.
I want to remind you. I think you got me believing in this.
I'm about to go
I'm going to put a money on this, right?
Plus 800, dog. You got to take it.
Y'all hear that out there in that line? J.J. There you go.
Think about this, though. The Cleveland Browns put up 41 points against the Dolphins. The Buffalo Bills, and I don't know who they have on offense besides Devin Singletary, they put up 37 against this.
John Brown's pretty good.
Yeah, he's okay. He's average at that.
All right, my bad.
But there's been teams that put up big-time numbers, 31 for Buffalo, 17 for Washington, which I don't know who they have on their team that can score. 59, this is the first game of the season against the Ravens. Teams have put up a bunch of points against this football team. It's about time that we offensively score a bunch of points. Today's the day to do it.
And the one game we saw with the Eagles they put up a bunch was against the Buffalo Bills. So we'll see. And the Fanatic pregame show, again, presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, Jason Avant, Devon Givens. Final segment on the other side. We'll get our predictions before we hand things off to Tyrone Johnson and Pat Egan on the Green Zone right here. The Fanatic pregame show, Parks Casino, the all-new sportsbook in Ben Salem on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to the beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook. This is the Fanatic pregame show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And it is the final segment with Trey Thomas, Brian Westbrook, and Jason Avant. I'm Devon Givens, live from the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook, our home for every Birds game. Right here during this season, the great place is really starting to pick up like it always does, right? Right? Simple. We look up, 12:30, they're starting to roll in.
Yeah.
They're starting to roll in.
Money,
and everybody's here. Money to be made. So many screens here. You know all the games will be on these screens, a great 156-foot wall.
this is man cave heaven right here. And woman. But yeah.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. This is a great spot, though. So as we look at this, guys, and look at it, we can really start to get into it. Real fast, with the Greg Ward thing, Jay, what did you see from Greg Ward? Because we know the yardage wasn't big. The catches in the one specific that Orlovsky isolated in his video breakdown. What did you see from him as we kind of made a joke that, he might be the leading receiver for the game coming in? And what were they doing? Why did they not see this? But not a lot of yardage.
Well, he was the, you know, third and fourth read in a progression for most of them. He had one play that he was the number one option, and he got open on it. He ran it effectively, but all of his catches were uncontested. So I don't know about Greg Ward.
Still
so,
don't know.
So everyone is like, man, they should have put Greg Ward in. Like, anybody can run to the sideline when no one's guarding him and catch a three-yard pass, right? Anybody can do that. I want to see, and this is just something that you can evaluate at home, you begin to see how good a receiver is when you put a person in front of them, and if they can get open consistently, and then when there's a body next to him, will he be able to catch it, contest it? That's when you can know when a receiver is good, and we won't know that until Greg Ward gets put in those situations. He hadn't had any conflict. So once he gets that conflict of fighting off a guy and then catching the ball after, you know, getting open on him, being disoriented and still being able to catch the ball, that's when he will know if he's a good receiver or not.
And Trey, when we look at the offensive line and the guys coming back, is and you're playing against a bad front like the Dolphins front is, confidence booster a little bit to get back on track, knowing that Lane is back, Brandon Brooks is back out there, Jason Peters on the left side, everybody out there, knowing that you didn't have the greatest performance, it's good to get out there against a team where you should really, that front, you should really do your best.
Yeah, this is one of these teams right there. I mean, this team has the lowest number of sacks. They've only had 14 sacks that this defense has accumulated.
Right.
So this is a team that you should go out there as an offense and have one of those shutdown games. They've only done that one other time against Green Bay. So this is a situation where I think that, you know, you get this group out here, let's put up a goose egg when it comes to giving up any sacks in this game, you know, just because I think they lack the talent at rush. I mean, 14 sacks for this part of the season is extremely low for a defense. Well, they're leading the league at that. So I think that this is a group that you need to go out there, zero sacks, let's keep Carson clean, allow him to be out there, be able to see the defense and get rid of the ball, and let's just go roll.
And B, the running game, as you talked about, Miles Sanders has to be a workhorse today. Doug Peterson has to find a way to get that balance in there against this defense. Not very good against the rush. And maybe this is one of those games that can really spring Miles Sanders into one of those big carry games and also possibly a 100 game for his first time in his career.
Be committed to the run. You know, that thing that's going to lead you down the stretch here. November, December football is all about being able to run the football and stop the run. Miles Sanders is our most explosive player offensively. We have to get him involved early on. It's going to calm your offense down. It's going to allow Doug to be more creative as a play caller. It also will help your offensive line. And that's going to, in the long run, help this team more than anything, allowing Carson Wentz to be settled down as a passer in the pocket. I think the run game, you know, if you lead with that, it certainly can help this team win a lot of football games.
All right, let's get ready to get to the predictions here as we look at this one. Trey, we'll start with you. In Miami, weather is nice. It's going to be a home crowd down there in the stadium. What are you looking at here?
Well, you know what? I think we're going to get out there and get after it. I think this is a team that you can go out here and you get your rhythm back and you get your confidence back up. I see a Thigo Whiteside getting in the end zone, covering that spread for me. Yeah. So, you know, I see us pulling this out 28-10.
28-10, a beatdown of the Miami Dolphins. Brian Westbrook.
You know, I feel the same way as Trey. This is a rebound game for us. Our football team should be more energized this week because you got that help from Dallas Cowboys as far as on Thursday with them losing. We have a chance to basically control our own destiny. That's what this is all about. And now preparing yourself as you move forward for these critical games down the stretch of this football season. We win this football game easily. And I like that score that Trey had. I'm going to go 30-7 Philadelphia Eagles.
You got it. Jason, what are you looking at here?
I'm looking at it being 31-17 Birds. I think we're going to have a little bit of offensive explosion, but I think it's going to be aided by some turnovers by the defense. There's no way you can't turn this team over. So I'm looking for Brandon Graham having a multi-sack game and creating pressure. Free interceptions to give away here today.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a big one as well. I agree with you guys. 31-13, Birds over the Dolphins in Miami. And you're right, a get-back game, a get-right game for this football team against the Dolphins, who just simply do not have enough. And the Eagles have something way bigger to look at here, where it starts here with these next five games going forward against Washington, New York twice, and leading up to the Week 16 game against the Dallas Cowboys. So this is a big one right here to start things off.
It is. We need for the team to play well, right? We just need for them to play well so they can prove to us as fans, former players, or whatever, analysts. If you're an Eagle fan, you want the team to play well so we can have that confidence that they can go into a hostile environment and win a football game and or beat a good team at home. So these games count, and this is confidence building for this team.
A lot of people to thank Tim McManus for joining us live from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Tyler Zuli back at the studio producing. He has double duty because he will be on the post-game show with Rob Motti, Mike Von Flutto, and Mike and Pat. And Pat, welcome. Appreciate you joining us, man, here. And the great people for hosting us here at the great place here at Parks Casino, and all the great people who stopped by, said hello here as well. Trey, we'll hear you in the morning. What are you doing? Are you 5 o'clock? Are you 6 o'clock? What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm going I'm not sure yet. I should be there at 5. I'm doing the 5.
See how you feel in the morning.
Yeah, I'm doing the 5 with Jamie, you know, and then we just take it from there.
See how you feel in the morning.
Yeah,
Bob Cooney.
Yeah.
You and Bob Cooney.
No, it'll be me and Jamie.
You and Jamie. Oh, Jamie will be back.
Jamie should be back, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping he'll be back. Because if not, then it's just me. You know?
Well, you'll be great. You'll be great. And the pro show.
Unlimited Manscaped commercial.
Another joke for you guys.
There you go. And the pro show with Brian Westbrook tomorrow back in PJs in Cherry Hill. B will be there at 6 o'clock tomorrow, man.
Yeah, excited about tomorrow, man. We'll be talking about an Eagles victory. Victory
yes.
Monday for us tomorrow. We're excited.
And Jason will catch up with you sometime during the week.
Yep,
absolutely. So for everybody here, of course, with Trey, Brian, Jason, myself, and a great thanks to everybody who came out. We appreciate it. Coming up next will be the Green Zone with Tyrone Johnson and Pat Egan right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Enjoy the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.